You know, it's great to look around a church that we have. This is a wonderful church. Amen. And I see so many people in this room that Jesus has healed. I see so many here. And I mean, if Jesus healed you, if you were one of those that's been healed by Jesus, I want you to shout out, I've been healed.
I've been healed.
That's a lot of people. How many know he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever? How many know God doesn't change? He hadn't changed. If he was healing, he's still healing. If he was blessing, he's still blessing. How many know he's the God of miracles? Somebody ought to shout out, my God is a miracle working God. Hallelujah. And then I want you to shout this out. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. I think we ought to shout that a little louder. I don't know about you, but he said he sent the Holy Ghost. If we didn't need him, he wouldn't have sent him. Thank God he sent the Holy Ghost. Just shout that. Thank God he sent the Holy Ghost. You're in a Holy Ghost church this morning, a Spirit-filled church. Now, what does that mean? Because there's a lot of confusion about all that. And I want to just clean this up because I've been preaching on 50 days to Pentecost, and today will be no different. You know, on June 4th, I believe it is, we'll celebrate Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday represents the 50th day after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So on Easter Sunday, that would be day one. 49 days later, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the earth. Jesus told the people, go tarry in the upper room and wait until you be endued with power from on high. And then he said this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He said, and you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Look at somebody and say, you're going to have power. Now, I don't know about anybody else. This is just me. I'm not like everybody. Maybe I'm different. I hope you like me, but I'm a little different. If there's a benefit, I want it. How many of you go to work and hope they give you no benefits? I don't think there's anybody in here. You'd take anything on top of a paycheck, wouldn't you? Well, how many are glad you got saved?
Amen.
And let me tell you, if you have not accepted Jesus and you're in this room this morning, you have missed out.
Right.
You are missing out because there's nothing better in life than having Jesus in your heart.
Amen.
You couldn't do anything better in your existence than accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. You have made a big error not doing that if you haven't done that. But you know, I didn't just get saved so I could get a job. You know, he says that we're going to be witnesses. We're going to go out and tell people about it. That he said that we're to compel them to come in. And he gave us a great commission and commissioned us to go out and preach the gospel. So that's a job. But I didn't just get saved to get a job. I'll tell you something else. I didn't get saved so things could be worse. I get so tired of seeing Christians all down, trodden, beat down, messed up, messed over, toe up, toe down. I mean, just all kind of messed over. I mean, have y'all seen them Christians that you'd have to beg them for a smile? I tell you what, I got to smile every day, all day. I got the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. I can't speak for every Christian, but when I got saved, I got something the world didn't give me, and the world can't take it away. Oh, I just shout right there. I got something the world didn't give me, and bless God, the world can't take it away. He gave me joy unspeakable, hallelujah, and full of glory. Somebody say, joy unspeakable and full of glory. I didn't get saved to get depressed. I didn't get saved so he could make me sad. No, he made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice. Somebody ought to rejoice in this house. Somebody ought to shout like you know what I'm talking about. I ain't got long to preach, so y'all gonna have to shout a lot quicker than you normally do. You can't wait till I get all wound up. You gotta help wind me up. Somebody say amen. I do a whole lot better when y'all preach with me. You ought to just preach right now. Just amen, Pastor. Good preaching. Preach it, Pastor. Preach it. You got to feed the preacher. You understand what I'm talking about? I didn't get saved to get depressed. I didn't get saved to get messed over. Now see, there's a teaching out there that teaches that God does all this stuff. If you haven't come to Job on Wednesday nights, you guys need to watch it online so it'll help you get out of that mentality. that God will kill your 10 sons, steal all your sheep and cattle just because he loves you. That don't sound like a loving God to me. Does it sound like a loving God to you? Because God didn't do that. He didn't kill the 10 sons. He didn't take the sheep and the goats. He didn't put the boils on Job. No, sir. The devil came to steal, kill. Hey, that'd be a good place for us right now. Just say, the devil came to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came. That'd be a good place to shout right there. I don't know about nobody else, but I like them butts in the Bible. Somebody ought to say amen. I can't wait for a butt in the Bible. Amen. But Jesus came that I might have life and that more abundantly. He came to set me free, to deliver me, to help me out, to pull me out of my trouble, to put me on a higher place. When he rose up, I rose up with him. Somebody ought to shout amen right there. When he went down, I came up with him. Somebody ought to praise God right there. He said, I'm seated in heavenly places by Christ Jesus. He lifted me up out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on the rock to stay. I've got a song in my heart today. Hallelujah, a song of joy. Hallelujah. I'm preaching a whole lot better than you're shouting. About now, somebody ought to be up a dancing and a running around this building. You're trying to impress your mama today. She might be more impressed if you got up and run around a little bit. Man, I am so glad I got saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm really glad I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Amen. I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven, shouting victory. But you know something? What I'm also glad about is he didn't just stop there. How good is it of God to have poured out himself on the cross so that I could have eternal life? How great is that? I mean, no greater love hath this than a man laid down his life for his friend. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed on him shouldn't perish but have everlasting life. Think about that kind of love. But he didn't stop there. Look at somebody and say, he didn't stop there. When he came up out of that grave, he told them that there was something else they could have. Something else that they would be able to be empowered by. Something else that would help them on the journey in life. Something else that was coming. And he called him the Holy Spirit. He said he was the promise of the Father. I mean, no, he wasn't just a promise. That's right. The Holy Spirit is not just another promise, just one of the promises. The Holy Spirit is the promise. So God not only sent us all the promises that are yes and amen, but he added to it the greatest promise you and I could ever have. He called it the promise, and he said it was the Holy Ghost. And you shall be baptized not many days hence. So he told them to go wait in this upper room. In Acts chapter 2, we find out the Holy Spirit came and descended upon them and came into the room like a rushing mighty wind. They had been waiting. Now, I'm going to say this. Maybe this will help you just to understand. Somebody said, well, why did Jesus wait? I believe there's a lot of symbolism in the Bible. I've been around long enough to know. I mean, we do communion. It's symbolic. We do baptism. It's symbolism. It's orders of the church that we do. And all those things are vastly important to us. But God works in symbolic ways. And so on the 50th day after Easter, there would have been a feast, an end of a feast, what they called the Feast of Weeks. And at the end of this feast would have been the celebration of the giving of the law. They would have on that day celebrated the law that was given. But you see, nobody could ever fulfill the law. It was a failing endeavor. Jesus had to come because the law couldn't be fulfilled. They couldn't live up to the standard of the law in the natural man. See, you are a spirit. Look at somebody and say, you're a spirit. See what it is. Y'all need a bunch of Tic Tacs. I'm looking at y'all. Y'all talking out the side of your mouth. You're afraid to look at somebody right in the face because your breath might be bad. They'll get over your bad breath. It's funny because that's what I did to her over there a while ago. She come sit down next to me. You know, I scared her to death. I said, you got to sit next to me. She looked all sheepish, you know. And then when they said, say something to somebody, I like looked out of the side of my mouth. I wasn't going to look at her because I was afraid my breath stank. Y'all know I'm just honest. I like to tell it like it is. Amen. What preacher do you know tell you he's got staples in his pants? Nobody I know. Amen. I love you too. The promise of the Father. The promise of the Father. The promise of the Father. You are a spirit. You are a spirit. When you look in the mirror, I know you see a body. I know you feel things. I know you have thoughts about all that. But that's not who you are. When you look in the mirror and you look into the eyes in that mirror, somebody exists inside that mirror that's not that body. You're not a body. You are not a flesh. You live in a flesh. Pinch your flesh, Ricky. Just pinch your hand. That is what you live in. That's your earth suit. The moment that earth suit quits, you can't be on this planet no more. That's the only thing that connects you to this planet. The Bible says that your spirit and your flesh are at war with each other. That's why when people are about to die, you know, when I was around old saints of God, real old saints of God that really knew about God, they used to get, you'd see them getting close to the end of their life. You'd go into the room where they were, and I've been in these rooms, and you'd hear them start singing, somebody like Brother Shambach. They said for hours, he'd just say, Lord, I'm running, trying to make 199 and a half won't do. Lord, I'm running, trying to make 199 and a half won't do. They just said he sang that for hours until his body released his spirit and he went to be with the Lord. Old saints of God understood that your body and your spirit were at odds with each other. And that the reason people struggle in the bed to survive and why they're on those machines and trying so hard, because their spirit wants to go, but their body's trying to hold them. You know, if it wasn't for some of this medicine we have today, folks would go a whole lot quicker. Some of the suffering we see, we wouldn't have to see. And I'm not suggesting we don't do that. We ought to try and save everybody we can. But I want you to understand, while you're sitting there beside that bedside, they're a spirit living inside of a body. And that body, they need to evacuate their earth suit. They need to shed the old skin and put on a new Holy Ghost body. Do you understand? A spirit, and become who they are. You're going to leave this body. You are a spirit. When you die, your spirit will go back to God, and your body will go to the grave. It's the dust of the dust and earth. Every part of this flesh, everything about this flesh, everything about this flesh was made from dirt. You're about 98% water. The rest of you is minerals and dirt. And we spend so much time worrying about the minerals and the dirt. How many know you're just painting a field? You're combing a field, amen? You're combing an old rock. I'm helping y'all. I want to help you out because if you're not careful, folks will teach you wrong, and I want to teach you right. You are a spirit. The real use of spirit. The reason folks struggle to be Christians is because they have not uncovered and discovered who they really are. They still think they're trying to make their flesh become something. They're still struggling with the flesh, still dealing with the flesh, trying to get the flesh saved. You can't get your flesh saved. Your flesh will never be saved. How many understand? Your eyes will never be saved. Your ears will never be saved. Them lips will never be saved. You get into good traffic flow and have something happen, you'll find out how fast your flesh is not saved. Nobody's shouting. Amen. You're working on it. You're working on it because the Bible says you are to crucify the flesh. Look at somebody and say, you got to kill that old thing. You got to get that dirt in the right spot. You know, you got to home that dirt up. You got to work on that dirt. You are not a flesh, but you are not a mind either. God didn't make you a mind. You are not a mind. The Bible says that you are spirit, soul, and body. So our flesh, what we live in, is our body. And then we have a mind, our soul. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. All the emotions come out of the mind. All the emotions come out of the mind. The thinking that's encapsulated inside of this body. You have a mind. Look at somebody and say, you got a mind. You can educate the mind. You can re-educate the mind. The Bible says that you are to renew that mind. Who renews that mind? The real you. Your flesh doesn't renew that mind. You renew that mind. Say, I renew that mind. And I want you to know something. The Bible tells me clearly that I live in a body, I have a spirit, I am a spirit, and I have a soul. But I want to tell you something very clearly about this. Your mind, will, and emotions is dust. Now, I know some would like to tell you, see, because you know, if all we think the mind is, if all you think your mind is thought, you're wrong. The mind is not thought. It's your thoughts from your senses. From your feel, touch, taste, hear, and smell. What you've touched, tasted, seen, heard, smelled. What you've touched, tasted, felt, smelled, and heard have comprised thinking. That's where your thoughts come from. Experiences. They are natural. We would say carnal. Somebody say carnal. Your thoughts are carnal thoughts. They are carnal. That's why those thoughts have to be renewed. Maybe nobody's ever told you this. This is why it's so important that you don't listen to messages that tell you all you got to do is change your mind and everything's in the mind and everything's about your thoughts. Because it's very clear that your thoughts are the arrangement or the conceptions of your natural man, the natural experiences. All of your natural thoughts or carnal thoughts come from your natural experiences, and they exist within a natural brain. And your brain, just like your flesh, is made up of dirt. It's not some other thing. Your brain, your soul, the brain that you have is made up of dirt. So the thoughts are earthly thoughts. Your natural thoughts are dirt thoughts. They come from the dirt. They come from your natural experiences. They are derived from where you live, how you were treated, how your mama raised you, how your daddy raised you. But you are neither a mind nor a flesh. You are a spirit. Now here's what the Bible says. It says this, the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. It does not say worship Him with your head. It doesn't say worship Him with your mind and thoughts. There's some that have elevated themselves and got good thinking going and thought because they changed their thinking, they'd gotten closer to God. But it isn't your thinking that gets you closer to God. It's getting closer to God that changes your thinking. They got it all reversed. They got it all messed up thinking that you can somehow get your mind in a position and your mind somehow can walk out the things of God. How many of you understand your mind, because it's earthly and because it's natural, can only be renewed? But how often does it need to be renewed? About every 5 seconds. Don't look at me that way. Every man in this room understands that you got to flip past that channel every once in a while. Ain't nobody shouting in this room. Click, 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 oh, click. Don't look at me that way, y'all. If you stay more than a second on that, you've been messed up now. You got to flip on by that and don't flip back. There's no reverse on the remote. Click, click, click. Jesus, help me click. I'm making this very clear to you. That's why when you go to your computers and you open up your emails, That's why when you turn on your television, that all they can feast you on is the natural stuff that your mind has the ability to absorb and understand. And so they want to feast your mind on things. And you have to constantly, continuously, over and over again on a regular basis, minute by minute, renew your mind. You will never get your mind so great that you don't have to renew it in the next minute and a half. Why? Because it's dirt. This is so important because there's teaching out there. And it's just get your mind right. Get your mind right. God, help my mind. I don't need no help with my mind. I need my spirit man to grow. I need the spirit man on the inside of me to enlarge. If I could get my spirit big enough to control my mind and control my flesh, we've got to increase in the spirit of God. I wish somebody shout out amen. The Holy Spirit. This might dampen your theology. You might break your heart. You might get mad at me. But the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and the outpouring of the Spirit was not poured out so we could run.
Come on now. Come on.
It was not poured out so I could have goosebumps on my goosebumps.
Got that right.
Oh, I felt the Lord today. It was not poured out so you could speak in tongues. You will, because it's an evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We know that you're filled by whether or not you speak in tongues, and we can talk about that in depth. You stick around, I get it in you. But when you speak in tongues, it isn't so you can speak in tongues. Look at me. That's not why you got the Holy Ghost. Look at somebody and say, that's not why you got the Holy Ghost. That's not why he sent the Holy Ghost. Let me show you why he sent the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 8, verses 4 through 12. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, the dirt. What parts of you are dirt? Your mind, will, and emotions. Dirt. Now, some of y'all got upset because I just walked around and prayed in tongues. I wouldn't do that at a grocery store. I got more respect than that. I don't just walk through the grocery store speaking in tongues. Folks think that's crazy. But I could. Once you know the language, you know the language. And the only reason you would not speak it is because you don't speak it. Paul said, when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Howbeit in the spirit we speak mysteries. Speaking in tongues, once it's in you, is in you. It doesn't go away. Just to help you out right there. I wasn't mocking God by doing that. I mean, you might have some religious traditions that hold you bound to something, but I can pray in tongues because I know the language. It's mine. God gave it to me. It's his utterance, but it's out of my mouth. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? And so he says that we did this, who walk not after the flesh, but after the what? That's a big S. That's a big S. It says the Holy Spirit, who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Holy Spirit. He says, but they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. And they that are of the carnal mind is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at enmity. The carnal mind. Look at somebody and say, your brain. And your brain's thoughts are at enmity. You can't think high enough for God. See, I tell you, some of y'all, I'm stepping on your best preacher right now. Because some of y'all done heard him preach and y'all run around the buildings hooping and hollering, jumping and shouting, flipping and dancing. Because he told y'all you had to do was change your mind and work on your mind and get your thoughts straight and work on your thinking. If you could just get your thinking right. But your thinking will, from the day you were born until the day you die, be in enmity with God. It does not conform to the thoughts of God and must be renewed. The Holy Spirit came so that I can live after the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm not to live after my mind. I'm not to live after my flesh. I'm to live by my Spirit. His Spirit beareth witness with my spirit that I am the Son of God. His Spirit beareth witness with my spirit. Everything that will come from God to you comes to your spirit man. He reveals it to us by his Spirit to our spirit. If I'm going to get my flesh where I want it to be, I've got to get it in my spirit. If I'm going to get my mind where God wants it to be, I've got to get it in my spirit. And I thank God for the Holy Ghost. I thank God for the Holy Ghost, because that's the place. Jesus got us ready for heaven, but the Holy Spirit enables us for earth and empowers us for earth. We are not a mind. We will never be a mind. Our mind is at enmity with God because it is flesh. We'll always be flesh. I need to quit. Because the carnal mind is at enmity with God. For it is not subject. Is that on the screen? Put it on the screen. Romans 8, verses 4 through 12. And I'm at... Because the carnal mind, you need to see this. You need to see this. I don't care what preacher preached to you. I'd just rather preach the Bible. I don't need opinions. I don't need you to shout me around the room. I don't need your good thoughts that you think you own to something. I don't need to hear what you think you're doing. Let's just go to the Bible and see what it says. How many think we ought to preach the Bible to people? Would to God more folks would read the Bible. They'd listen to less of this mess. They stop listening to all that garbage. We ought to listen to the Bible. Folks is getting confused. They're stuck in their lives. They think that they're where they are because God had them there. God committed them there. God stuck them in that mess. How many know God wants to deliver you from all your trouble? There isn't one thing that he wants you to remain in. God wants to set you free. He whom the Son sets free is free. He trains me by his Spirit. He trains me with his word. He corrects me with his word. He corrects me with his spirit. He deals with me in my spirit, man. He doesn't whoop up on my flesh. That's my job. He doesn't rearrange my mind. That's my job. I'm supposed to take care of my mind. I'm supposed to control my flesh. God said, the Lord is a spirit, and they that worship him. That's why the Holy Ghost came. That's why this 50 days to Pentecost is so important, because he gave us the power. He said he'll give us the power, the power, the power, the power, the power, the power, the power. You have the power to overcome sin. You have the power to overcome all the devices of the devil. You have the power to overcome the works of the enemy. You have the power to defeat the devil. You have the power to walk in victory. You have the power. It's in your spirit. For the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not. Your brain is dirt. It is comprised of, your mind is comprised of your experiences. It's part of your flesh, only it has thought to it. Now the Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrows. So there is a connection between our spirit man and our soul man. It can be divided. That means it's joined. It means I can physically understand and have emotions towards God through this connection between my soul, mind, will, and emotions, and my spirit. But the first place I receive God, the first knowledge I receive, and everything there forward will be in my spirit and transferred to my mind. Does not work vice versa. And you cannot program your mind to the point that it doesn't need renewal. Next verse. For they that are of the flesh do mind the five senses, taste, touch, feel, hear, see, smell. But they that are of the spirit, the things of the spirit. Next verse. For to be carnally minded is death, but spiritual minded is peace. Any struggles you're going through right now is because you haven't got it in your spirit yet. Not because you don't have it in your mind yet. How many of you ever had your spirit tell you one thing, but your mind was telling you something else? Come on now. You walk around claiming you're healing, but your body's telling you something else. You ever had that happen? I mean, think about it. When you got saved and you kicked the bed this morning with your little pinky toe, your mind didn't say, praise God. Some of you might have let out something other than praise God. Thank God it's not about the head. Thank God it's not about the flesh. Thank God it's about my spirit. And if I keep going after the spirit, the things of the spirit, I get filled with the Holy Ghost and get empowered by the Holy Ghost. I can crucify my flesh, bring it under subjection. I can capture the thoughts in the air and I can say, no, I can pull down. That's what he's saying. We're to pull down every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, because your thoughts are always at enmity with God. You got to grab them things and you got to yank them down. I'm preaching really good right now. Somebody ought to be getting what I'm talking about. Next verse. No, go back. Stay right there. Stay right there. Because the carnal mind is at enmity with God. For it is not subject to the law of God, and it cannot be. It got quiet in here because some of y'all don't watch that preacher tell you it was all about your mind. And you're like, what? What? Your mind cannot be. It cannot be. I don't care what he teaches you. I don't care what you've heard. I'm just going to stick with the Bible. And the Bible says that your mind cannot be subject to the things of God. It can be renewed over and over and over and over again. But you are a spirit. And the sooner we teach you to live after the spirit, the better it's going to be on you. We need to teach you that there's a secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High and shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. You don't get that living in the flesh. You don't get that in the mind. You get that in your spirit. And then when all hell breaks loose and the devil comes, you can stand, having done all to stand, because it was on the inside. Something happened on the inside. My dirt can't tell me I'm saved. Only my spirit can tell me I'm saved. Somebody will yell, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Look at the next. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If all you've done is elevated your thinking for a day or a month, I'm going to tell you something. I need to go to the gym. That was not what I was going to say, but water, water. Somebody needs to get some running in, huh? Every year, January 1 comes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I look in the mirror. I actually heard somebody say this one time, said, if you want to know whether you're in shape or not, get in a pair of spandex and stand in the mirror. I did that one January 1st. I don't want nobody to ever see that picture. As God is my witness, I don't even want my wife to see that picture. That's why when we go to bed at night, I flip the lights off. You understand what I'm talking about? Click, click, we in the dark, click. But every January the 1st, I make a New Year's resolution. Does anybody with me? Who makes New Year's resolutions? And my New Year's resolution is I'm going to lose weight every single year. How many know them cheesecakes still coming? They still coming. I'm still eating them cheesecake. I'm still doing it. Because my body and my mind. See, I know God wants me healthy. I know God wants me in health. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. God wants my mind renewed on the things of God. And he said, spirit, soul, and body. He wants me to be full. And so I know the Lord will speak to my spirit and say, you a thin little fella. He says it every day. And he says it on January the 1st. And I actually believe it on January the 1st. I hope I'm helping somebody. But my mind is at enmity. And unless I renew that every single day and I take captive the thoughts, and every time I walk by the refrigerator and it speaks to me, cheesecake. I have to say no, no cheesecake today. You not eat cheesecake. Because I'm a spirit. I live in a body. And I have a mind, will, and emotions. And I live out of my spirit. Christians are to live out of their spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the infilling, this day of Pentecost sent us the benefit. The benefit. See, healing is a benefit. You don't have to be healed to go to heaven. You can go to heaven and be sick. Many folks have died sick, but they were saved. Anybody know anybody that was sick was saved? Healing's a benefit. And it's up to us to decide how we're going to extrapolate from the word of God my healing. Because he said, by his stripes, I was healed. That's every single person in this room. But it's only accessible to the person that accesses it. It's only available to the person. See, now, if you don't know where it came from, if you think that God did it or something like that, then you're stuck. Don't even try to get healed. If God's teaching you something, stay sick. But I don't know about nobody else. I've seen everybody in this place. When you get sick, you go to a doctor, you're trying to get healed. And if that was from God, you're at the will of God. You just stepped out of the will of God. No, that's not true. Healing is something every one of us should attempt to access in our life. We should try our best to receive it and have it and walk in it. Not only should we want to be healed from any sickness or disease that comes to attack our body, but we should try our best to live divinely healed and keep every sickness off of our body and rebuke every sniffle and everything that comes up, every rash on your body, every time some hair falls out, every time they tell you the prescription needs to be adjusted. In Jesus' name, I am healed. And I would fight for my right to be healed. Don't fight for your right to be sick. Live out of your spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit was given, so I could be empowered. That testimony that God wants me to be is a testimony of blessing. I'm the billboard of God's goodness. They're supposed to look at me in the marketplace and say, how did you get that? How do you live like that? And I can say, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, saved, fire baptized, walking after the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. I'm a child of the Most High God. He yells a lot. He yells a lot. I can't help it. First of all, I'm a loud person. Second, this joy that I found, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy that I found. Stop singing. I can't help but look at the clock. It's Mother's Day. I got to eat. Still working on my listen. You're not a flesh. He that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his Holy Spirit that dwelleth in you. Proverbs 20:27 says this. Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Listen to this, Proverbs chapter 3. Forget not my law, Keep them about thy neck and about your heart, my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace, they'll add to you. So when I get the word of God, not in my head, I'm going to show it to you. It will add length of days, long life, and peace. It will add it to me. It'll be added. Not mercy. Let not mercy or truth forsake thee. Bind them about your neck. Write them. Write them. I don't memorize scriptures. I quote thousands and thousands of scriptures. I can quote scriptures, just quote, 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 quote. But it isn't because I sat down and memorized them. It was because they became how I lived. See, I live the word. I don't just quote the word. I live the word. And the word is not in my head. You see, the devil has the word in his head. Doesn't he? The Bible says he knows the word from back to front. He knows the word. He could quote the word to Jesus in the deception. Remember? We see it, right? He knows the word. But he don't believe any of it. So just because you got it in your head don't mean you got it in your... That's why he said, thy word have I hidden in my... He didn't say head. He didn't say head. He didn't say convince your head. Get your head right. Get your head in it. This is not football. Get your head in the game. This is about the Holy Spirit bearing witness with your spirit that you're the Son of God. The enhancement of your ability to hear from God comes from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why this 50 days of Pentecost is so critical to us. Because on June 4th, we're going to celebrate the outpouring of the greatest benefit that mankind ever had in his lifetime. If you don't pray in the Spirit, you've missed out on the greatest benefit. If the church abandons the Holy Spirit and the move of the Spirit, they miss out on the greatest benefit. I know we want to get people in the room, but it doesn't do any good to get people in the room if God's not there. Amen. We could fill this building up four times over, and if God wasn't there, it doesn't do any of us any good. But if Jesus comes and he walks the aisles of this place, and it's a true move of God's Spirit, then lives will change, minds will change, hearts will change, things will turn around, and the anointing will break the yoke. For it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's not emotions. It's not great music. It's not a two beat. It's not great orators. It is not fantastic bands. We've gotten a church conference mentality. All we want to do is go to conferences. I can't remember the last time. I don't go anymore. I just don't bother. I don't see anybody get healed. They go to these conferences and they all come home. Wow. Wow. Oh. And they listen to these awesome bands and these paid professional speakers. They're on a docket. They're hired to come in and preach the word they preached at the last conference. Don't nobody shout me down now. I'm not bashing conferences. I'm just telling you something. We got to get out of the conference mentality and get into a Holy Ghost presence mentality. We need the presence of God. He said, when the word of God is truly preached, signs will follow the word. That's not just people getting saved, although it is. But there are other signs. In this room are people that were handicapped and that had strokes, that had paralysis on parts of their body and could not move their body. And today Jesus came in this room in one of these mornings, and he showed up, and they can now move their hands and move their feet and walk and talk. They had a heart attack, and they were told that they only had a small percentage of their heart living, but now it's all their heart living. I mean, there are miracles, signs, wonders, healings, and deliverances, and that's what the church ought to be filled with. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, in my name. The church does not seek signs, but it does seek the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit brings and delivers signs. If we seek him, we will find him. If you'll draw nigh to me, you don't do that with your head or your flesh. You do that with your heart. I sought thee with all my early in the morning will I rise. Write them on the tables of your heart. So shall thou find good understanding and the favor in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord. I just prefer to go for the word. Can't talk for nobody else. Not here to stimulate you emotionally. I want to get you here. I want to get you in your spirit. Trust. Put it on the screen. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 8 or 5. Trust in the Lord with all your... And he commands us, lean not. To the dust in your brain. To the thoughts in your mind. Too many Christians have tried to accelerate or elevate their mind to a standing with God. But it is your spirit where God works. It is your spirit where you receive. It is following and walking after the spirit. When you wake up and your mind says turn left, but your heart said turn right. And then you take captive the rest of you and say, no, sir, you're going to follow God. The way you get out of drugs is that you tell your body, this is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And you won't have that in your life. You enforce the righteousness of God in you by the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Oh, I need the Holy Ghost. I need him more today than I needed him yesterday. I need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit more than ever before. Pour him out on me. Oh, I need a touch of your spirit. I don't need to jump up, run, shout. I need something to happen deep on the inside because deep calls to deep. I need something deeper than just that fleshly thing. I got to have more than just a good drum beat. I got to have more than just some folks giving it all they got. You go in these rooms and they're singing and it's like a competition. How great is our God. Y'all know it's the truth. And then they pass it off to the next one. Okay, John, you go. Okay, Susan, you go. Shut up! That's all flesh. That's all emotion. It's entertainment. I don't need entertainment. Don't entertain me. Touch my spirit. Speak to me. Speak to me. I mean, challenge me. Challenge me. Challenge me to be better tomorrow. Challenge me. I'll tell you what. We see a generation that's beginning to leave the church. They call them the millennials. I got to quit. Please forgive me. And every week I read a new article on the millennials. And the article doesn't get any better. They're leaving the church, flocking from the church. Last night I read one. Now, here's the problem with that article. Is I've been reading that article for years. And we've tried the lights. We've tried the bands. We've tried the... entertainment venue. We've tried chalkboard church. We've tried. And the same article 2 years ago they wrote last night. So all the chalkboard church, all the entertainment that we've done, all the changing to be seeker friendly, all that we've done to invite the millennials into the house of God, here's the thing, it hadn't worked. You know why? Because only the real's going to work. They've got to come into the house of God and they've got to see you worship God in spirit and in truth. They've got to come in the house of God and see a people that are so in love with Jesus that nothing else will do. That silver and gold can't equate, can't even come close to the love we have for God. And they've got to come into a church where the Holy Ghost is in manifestation, where they can have real instead of this fake phony stuff, instead of this pseudo stuff. They're walking into places looking for an oasis and all they're finding is a mirage. And I pray that this church will be a Holy Ghost church dedicated to the things of God, committed to the Spirit of God. If I've got to go some other way, I'm going to quit. Because I'm not going to, if it's just me and my wife and my kids, which I don't believe it will be, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm not coming down off this mountain. I'm not trying to make folks happy. I'm not afraid to teach the truth. I'm not going to run from the Holy Ghost. I'm not afraid for you to hear me pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm not afraid for folks to fall down in the floor. I'm not afraid for folks to run around the building, because if God's in the house, there'll be an expression of God. There'll be a move of God. There'll be a shaking. I'm waiting for God to shake this house. And when folks drive by, they see the fire of God. I'm not trying to reach your brain. Because once the entertainment shuts down, you will. Once I quit the ice cream socials, you'll leave. If you came for the hamburger day, and we didn't give you more than a hamburger, then I can't keep you without a hamburger. But if I give you the Word of God and the Spirit of God, then you'll come back for the Word and you'll come back for the Spirit. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, turn over there, and this is the end. I went over, I apologize. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at the first verse. And I, when I came to you, brethren, did not come to you with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the wisdom of a man. But I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in staples in my pants. Too much cheesecake and in much trembling. You can put a muscle shirt on, but that don't make you a spiritual man. You can wear your jeans so tight that the buttons are about to pop, but that don't make you a Holy Ghost man. Next verse. But my speech and my preaching was not with the entertaining, was not with the enthusiasm, was not with the persuasioning words of human wisdom. I didn't come to try and entertain you. I didn't come to try and get you to shout. I didn't come to try and convince you. See, we got a whole lot of people in church now that are convinced, but they're not convicted. There's a difference between convincing and convicting. A church ought to be filled with conviction. Oh, I need to be here more. When you come today to Mother's Day and see this full house, and this is wonderful. We've added chairs today, and it's just packed, and I'm sure the children are packed, and you need more than today. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. You need more than today. If you're going to grow in God, I've got to teach you in your spirit. I've got to get into your spirit. I've got to elevate your spirit. I've got to promote the Spirit of God in you. I've got to get the Holy Ghost in the room so that while you're sitting there, the presence can come and touch you. Because I can't come to you with the speech and preaching of my words of persuasion of human wisdom, but I can come. Paul said, I came to you in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power. Church, never be ashamed of the demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of the power of God. We can't back off now. Not now. Not now. Not now. This is the time to press in. This is the time to go higher. This is the time to go deeper. This is the time to want more. This is the time to... And nothing else will do. See, if you've been touched by the Holy Ghost, nothing else will do. You'll spend the rest of your life looking for the thing that touched you, and it wasn't money. It wasn't some guy or some girl. It wasn't the car. I've driven some really nice cars. They smell good for a little while. But Jesus never gets old. The Holy Spirit never gets boring. His mercies are new. Whew. I sense him in the room. I sense him in this place. Deep calls unto deep. I need you more, Lord. More than words can say. I need you more. More than yesterday. I need you more than ever before. I need you more. I need you more. And he goes on to say this, the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Stand your faith.